Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in there and holding on. It's always our delight to have you on board with us. Let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Go ahead with the question and comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Great. Good morning. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. I am very blessed, and I'm just so excited and very elated about being a part of the family of God. I heard you saying so many things this morning, especially concerning what they want to call us, Dr. Youngblood. We don't have to be what they are calling us on today. I believe that it's more of a fear tactic, like I've heard you say in your explanation on the day, that they really want us to be scared and fearful of them. But this kind of reminds me, Dr. Youngblood, in the book of Numbers, when the 12 spies went out to spy out the land, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that brought back a good report. They said that we are very well able, and Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to say that to all the Christians on today. We are very well able to overcome them if we stick together, if we stand together, if we just don't let them have their way, because God, he's fighting our battle for us. And all we need to do is just let God do the thing that he's good at doing, and that's winning battles, you know, for his people. When I look at the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse number 33, they said in that verse, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which were sons of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers." Now, we don't have to see ourselves as anything inferior to them. If we allow them to just bluff us and just make us take down to be lesser than what we are, then, of course, Dr. Youngblood, they're going to come in and have their way, and they're going to win. But as I heard you saying on this morning, we really need to get together, pray, and support our president, and stand up for what we know is right. And just don't let them just take this thing, slap away from us, because we're on the winning side because we have God on our side. Amen.
Absolutely. And Brother Davis, I am delighted you brought that up, because when the 12 spies went out, 12 spies came back in. 10 spies says we can't. 2 spies said we can. And 10 of them were operating, making a decision out of fear, and 2 of them operated and made a decision out of faith. And it's the faith that ought to be the operational modus operandi for the child of God today. And faith says that we believe God. But one of the things, Pastor Davis, I believe our listeners, especially as Christians, need to understand, it's one thing to say, "I faith God, I believe God, that God's going to do something," and I believe he is. But God uses the governmental system, the political system that God created in the Bible. God gave us government. God gave us the home, God gave us government, and God gave us the church, and in that order. And anything that deals with any one of those three categories of life and living, God gives us in his word what we need to do. And God doesn't intend for us to sit down and do nothing. But in fact, he wants us to stand up and be salt and light, just as you have said. And just as Joshua and Caleb said, we can win this battle, even though there were giants in the land. Joshua and Caleb believed that God was a greater giant, if you will, than the giants in the land that frightened the other 10 spies. So I believe that God will have us, as we're seeing now, and there's some Christians that think that Trump ought not to file suit, that Trump ought not to carry this thing to court, that Trump, the Trump administration should simply concede, toss in the towel, and allow the vote to be stolen. And I think that's antithetical to anything that God would have us to do as Christians. He wants us to stand, and he wants, the Apostle Paul talked about, as you know, putting on the whole armor. And he said, having done all, stand. And that in the Greek text has the indication there that after you've done everything, you put on the whole armor of God and you dig in your heels, you don't run, you don't bow, you don't bend, you don't sit down, you keep on standing. And I believe that's what God will have us to do today as Christians, is to keep on standing, not bowing and not bending.
Amen. You know, the older saints used to tell us a long time ago in the church that God don't need no coward soldiers. I mean, if you're a coward... brother, then you're just in the wrong place. I mean, you know, he can't use anybody that's afraid. I mean, fear and faith don't occupy the same space at the same time. So we have to let that faith, Dr. Youngblood, that faith that can move mountains. He said, we have not because we ask not. If we ask in faith, our God is able to do it. So we just simply need to trust him.
Absolutely. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear. And that's what we ought to hold on to and recognize that he wants us. See, this election's not over. We've got many today that's listening. Pastor Davis, we've got many today that's listening to think somehow, some way, the election is over, it's done, and it's just waiting until the chips fall. But I want our listeners to understand that the President Trump and the Trump administration will have his day in the Supreme Court. And it's in the Supreme Court, I believe, that we'll see victory for the Trump administration and for every person that's listening and under the sound of my voice. Brother Davis, keep on praying. Keep on looking up. And as one of our callers suggested earlier, that we need to have a broadcast where folks can call in and we can pray. I'll make that a part of tomorrow's broadcast. And feel free to call in. We're going to ask the different ones to call in and to pray audibly. Let our listeners hear different ones praying for God to intercede, for God's given us victory, for God to protect President Trump, for God to answer our prayers and divinely intervene to give victory in this election. So thank you so much for your call. And keep on praying. Keep on looking up, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a battle today. We're in a battle today. And I don't believe it's recognized as being a battle. In fact, one particular poster calls it a psychological battle. So psychological warfare is being waged upon us. And the further portion of that, the sign indication it says here, but most have no idea that they're even on the battlefield. You know, we sing that song, and I've said that many times in the pulpit. We sing that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before. But most Christians do not realize we're in a battle. And yet you sing the battle song. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a psychological battle. It is a demonic battle. And it's being waged by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrats, and all of the Marxist media that's out there to defeat and to destroy we as believers, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand our nation's future hangs in the very balance, and the balance is going to be decided. That is decided through the courts that I believe will give victory for the child of God, victory for the Christian, victory for the conservative, victory for the one that is the patriot of the United States of America, victory as we wait on God and ask him to intercede and give us the election victory that only he can provide in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a demonic battle. And conservatives cannot sit in silence. Conservatives must not be silent. Pulpits must not remain silent. Pastors must stand in the gap and be heard and be seen in the life and living in our nation today if we're going to expect God to intervene. In fact, here's an article by Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. It says, when Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot set their sights on shutting down one of Chicago's vibrant immigrant churches, they thought they had an easy target. But they were wrong, Matt Staver says, and this is what he further states. Most of the congregation either escaped Romanian brutal communist regime or their parents did. The memory of the brutality and oppression leveled against them is still fresh in the minds of many of the Elam Church's church members. And what they remember most were the attacks on Christians and the attacks on churches, and they never thought that they would experience those attacks again until now here in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I would have never thought a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, that we would have those immigrants coming in from the socialist, communist, Marxist nations coming to America for a safe harbor, coming to America where we would be able to have the religious liberties and the freedoms of speech because of our Bill of Rights, and then find that being totally taken away from us. In fact, Dr. James Dobson says the Biden administration will bring total moral depravity to our nation. Dobson cited a report on abortion. He says Biden administration will force Americans to fund abortion during the first weeks in office. He will implement abortion on demand nationwide without any limits whatsoever. He will force Americans to fund Planned Parenthood, the biggest abortion provider. He, speaking of Biden, will force Christians such as the Little Sisters and of the Poor to fund abortions in their health care insurance plans. Biden will stack the courts with pro-abortion judges who would keep abortion legal for decades and decades to come. That should break the hearts. This is what Dr. Dobson is saying. That should break the hearts of every lover of God's children, Dr. Dobson wrote. We as American citizens will be complicit in the deaths of millions if we remain silent. How can Joe Biden say he wants to be president of all the people in America? What does he have to say about half of us who vigorously oppose abortion on demand, paid for by taxpayers through 9 months of pregnancy and perhaps beyond in America, and by influence and inference for the globe around us? And he goes on, but there's more. The Biden regime will also usher in other forms of moral depravity. For example, he recently suggested that kids as young as 8 or 10 years old should be able to undergo irreversible transsexual transformation. That's what the man said. Kamala Harris, who may be the next vice president, said she wants this country to legalize all forms of prostitution. What other moral outrage will come from this godless administration? Only heaven knows. And he goes on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but he's exactly right. The regime, the Biden regime, will bring moral depravity in the United States of America if we lose this election. This is the reason I say, as Christians, we cannot remain silent. As Christians and churches and pastors, we must be salt and light. As Christians and churches and pastors, we must be the watchman on the wall. We must take the stand and be willing to warn. In fact, going back to the Ezekiel 33 text, God calls it, the call is from God. God's called the shepherds to be watchmen of his sheep and of the people. The commission is to blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. And the caution is, the action is to warn the people, and the accountability. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I feel the accountability that if I sit in silence, I'm accountable for the end result of what takes place to our people, to our listeners, to our sheep across the land. And I believe we need to be people, we the people, and not sheeple that will bow and bend and not recognize what will be lost. It was one of the Supreme Court justices, Alito, that warned religious liberty is in danger of becoming a second-class right. And it's a major article where he had given a speech and talked about that being that taking place under the present, future, present, and the future tense of where we're going if this continues. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
You know, as Christians engage, as we attempt to fulfill that Matthew 5 compulsion that we go and be salt and light, that requires that we engage. You know, salt doesn't have any value if it doesn't come in contact with the meat, if it doesn't come in contact with food. It doesn't have any value. We don't have any value unless we come in contact with the world, unless we're willing to be salt and light, share in the world. And I say that, you know, both on the spiritual side, and I mean, it's still a spiritual warfare going on in this political realm. And as we speak truth into this arena, some of the most effective methods of sharing are on social media sites. But I'd like for believers to understand out there, they will do their dead level best. When I say they, leftists in these social media companies like Twitter and like Facebook and like right on down the list we can go, they will do the best to squelch your communication. They will do their very best to make you feel as though you are alone. Now, this has been a ploy by evil administrations, if you will, going back for a long time. The pollsters in Adolf Hitler's day would tell you that he had 90% support. 90%. This election that I believe was won overwhelmingly by Donald Trump was effectively attempted to be stolen in 6, 7, 8 major jurisdictions. But you know, back to my other point, the notion of them trying to make you feel like you're alone. Even in the past 2 months on my social media feed, and I mix it up, you'll find that the number of people seeing that has dropped off dramatically, hugely. And then, of course, when you try to communicate with a leftist, with a Democrat, with a socialist, and share the truth with them, here's what oftentimes happens. This morning, a woman gave a huge list of all the reasons why America is evil. And, of course, she's wearing a hat saying America was never great. And listed anything you can imagine. I mean, from slavery to the Trail of Tears, anything you can imagine that's bad or negative that's taken place in the United States, all of a sudden she chalks it up to America as evil. And of course, I listed a few things. Started off with, if you don't like America, you know, pick a better country, go move. But you start speaking truth to that, and immediately, within seconds, my post was removed. Now, that happens all the time. That was done individually. You know, an individual didn't like it, so they shut it down. But individuals in Twitter and individuals in Facebook and individuals in these other companies that don't like your communication, what they do is they shadow ban you. They mute you. And then even when you post things, or say you go and look at this woman's post that's radically against America, thousands of responses. You know what? All she has, as far as responses, agree with her. If you just look at that, you go, oh, my goodness. Everybody thinks America is evil. So when you get out there, folks, don't feel like you're alone. I believe there's an overwhelming presence of the Lord even today working, and the body of Christ is not only around America but around the world. You have family. You have folks that are speaking and are standing up. Many times they're muted. You will be muted. You will be squelched. So get used to it. You need to be in your households of faith, though, and that's where somehow or another a lot of folks have exchanged the internet for their household of faith. So if you're out of church, folks, today, find a church home, somebody that's not scared to death to meet today, because that's something that will soon disappear, I believe. This new administration.
Greg, it's unusual that you speak on that, because I'm looking at an article now that says Google bias shifted at least 6 million votes. Google's search engine manipulated in the 2020 election could have shifted a minimum of 6 million votes to Democratic Joe Biden, according to research psychologist Dr. Robert Epstein. The Harvard-trained researcher, a Democratic voter, told Fox News' Tucker Carlson Monday night he had 733 field agents in the swing states in Arizona, North Carolina, Florida, and Florida collecting data. Google search results were strongly biased in favor of liberals and Democrats. This was not true on Bing or Yahoo, he said. Epstein noted the bias was being shown to pretty much every demographic group we looked at, including conservatives. And that touches on what you were saying, because what they're doing is what they call shadow banning, and or simply sending you, for example, you can do any research you want to about the coronavirus, and Google and other search engines will shift you to the World Health Organization, which will continue to lie to you, and you think that's the main source of information out there, and you don't get the real information. And I find it absolutely antithetical to what we formerly had called freedom of speech in the United States of America. And I believe that those giants need to be broken up. I believe they need to be prosecuted for what they have done, what they're doing. they were part and parcel of this attempt to overthrow the will of the people of the United States of America. I believe that Donald Trump probably received as many as perhaps as high as 80 million votes. And Joe Biden sat in his basement knowing that this was going to be a fraudulent election. In fact, he verbally bragged about the Democrats set up the greatest election fraud in history. And that's exactly what we see happening. But as Christians, as you're saying, Greg, we need to take the stand. We need to be heard. We need to be seen. We need to stop being silent in these days that we're living in.
It's amazing to see the level, the scale of the fraud. And as you just pointed out, if you try to research it on Google, you'll not find the information you're looking for, because Google doesn't want you to understand that there has been an election fraud, not just minor fraud, huge fraud, and in so many different ways that they believe they're untouchable. I watched a lady, Arthel, on Fox News yesterday that immediately shut down a commentator that was expert in his field when it deals with elections, shut him down and said, there is no election fraud. And she said, you know what? I voted in person, but I had an absentee ballot. I took the absentee ballot and they shredded it before me. And then I voted one time, and all I could do was vote one time. And I'm going, okay, any analyst would say, that's great anecdotal evidence. What evidence do you have that there's been no fraud? Because I have stacks, mountains of evidence that there has been fraud, but you give me one story and then you tell me, this is what Arthel said, that these stories of fraud have been debunked. Well, folks, do your homework. If you think there has been no fraud, I want you to go out and find where it's been debunked. They have one analysis by a governmental group that says this is the most secure election we've ever had. But that group is dominated by Dominion and the other election voting machine manufacturers. I mean, they're on the inside track. Of course they want to tell you there's been no fraud. Don't give me that as the response. It's kind of like talking about mask efficacy. You have all these mayors, Jacksonville mayor, Mr. Curry, didn't he just extend the mask ban, a cloth mask ban? I think that's what he just did.
Yes.
Mr. Curry, I sent you personally the link to the science that shows that cloth masks don't do you any good, may do you harm. They don't do you any good. But if you try to do the research, that's going to be hidden from you. They wanted the fear factor leading up to this election so that people would embrace the notion of mass mail-in voting. And then you start realizing that under the mass mail-in voting, some jurisdictions had a 104%, 108%, 132%, 140% rate of voting compared to the number of registered voters in the jurisdiction. You go, how do you get 140% turnout? How does that happen? That happens because people are voting that are not lawfully voting, but they're literally stripping the ballot from the envelope, if there's an envelope, and running it through the machine, and the envelope's disappearing in many cases, being thrown away, shredded, whatever. So there's no way to go back and validate that the signatures match. There's no way to go back and validate who this come from. They just have mounds and mounds and mounds of ballots in some places. Granted, Arthel is right. In some places, they did it right. In most places, I think they tried to do it right, assuming that the machines counted them right. I think in most places. But if you go to the dense populations that are dominated by leftist Democrats, guess what? That's where enormous fraud took place. And that's across America. You'll find that Biden only won like 19.4% of counties across the United States. Now, how do you win less than 20% of counties across the United States and have an overwhelming – you know, that's malarkey. That's horse feathers, as you would say. He won the least number of counties of any person, any presidential victor in U.S. history, which to me says, guess what? He didn't really win, folks. He didn't really win. This is a mirage for the left. Now, if this is found out, if this is undone, be prepared for riots in the streets. When they prepared all the New York and D.C. and other places where they boarded up and all, they weren't boarding up because they were afraid of conservatives, of Christians, of Trump supporters. They boarded up because they were afraid of the huge loss that they saw coming for Biden and his supporters. The radical leftist BLM Antifa crowd would burn cities to the ground.
Absolutely. And Greg, if I can jump in on top of that, we're finding a greater push now to have, in fact, several states are talking about including California, talking about complete 100% total lockdowns. And I'm sure you're aware of the fact that the Supreme Court's ruled in favor of New York houses of worship, where part of the lockdown, they were trying to prevent synagogues and churches from having any services at all. And the Supreme Court has ruled against that. It says in the article that I'm looking at, earlier this week, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a 5-4 decision granting an emergency injunction against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo for his unconstitutional order against churches and synagogues. This is an important victory for religious freedom amidst the current pandemic, as the court's ruling blocks the governor from enforcing his cluster action initiative, including a set of severe restrictions against all houses of worship. One of the things that I believe our listeners, Greg, may not be aware of is the fact that these lockdowns and this push to so-called protect us from the coronavirus has an ulterior motive, and that is to destroy, to eviscerate, to absolutely evacuate and close down our Bill of Rights, especially the religious liberties and the freedom of speech. We've got about a minute and a half, Greg. Speak to that part of what we see taking place with the new lockdowns and what the Supreme Court is doing and what we believe that the Supreme Court ought to do in this election.
Well, first off, I'm very thankful that Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and the two others ruled in our favor. But what does that tell you? When I say they ruled in favor of the Constitution, they ruled in favor of the First Amendment religious liberty provision. They ruled in favor, but that also means that four justices, these are justices that swore an oath to support, protect, and defend.
Including Chief Justice John Roberts, if I could throw that in.
Oh, my goodness. So what's going on? We literally, by one person's decision, we actually got a good decision this time, but that means four of them were not standing on behalf of the people and on behalf of the Constitution and limited governance. They stood for, what did those four stand for? They stood for authoritarianism. They stood for totalitarianism. They stood for something that this country has stood against for its entire existence. Believers need to realize that we're right on the cusp. We're right on the cusp of something really large, really huge. They need to stand up and speak up while God still provides the ability for us to stand up and speak the truth.
Absolutely, and I couldn't have said it better. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, as a late introduction, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven, he calls it, up in northeast Tennessee. Greg, I'm delighted that you could take time to call in today for us to have a discussion about where we're going and what's taking place in America. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.